are in 10th Canto, chapter 13, the stealing of the boys and calves by Brahma, chapter text 51. Atmadi Stamba Prayantaya Murti Mabis Charakcharai Nitya Gitadi Anekarai Pritak Pritag Upasita Atmadi Stamba Paryantaya Murti Hambis Characharai Nitya Gitadi Anankarai Pritak Pritak Upasitaha Atmadis Namba Paryantaya Murti Mapis Characharai Nitya Gitadi Anikartai Pritak Pritak Upasitai Atmadi Stamba Paryantai Murtami Pis Characharai Nitya Gitadi Anikartai Pritak Pritak Upasitaha Vaishnavas Atmadi Samba Paryantai Murtampis Characharai Nitadi Dhanikartai Pritak Pritak Upasitaha Atmadi Stamba Paryantai Murti Mabis Characharai Nitya Gitadi Anikarhai Prita Prita Gupasitahai Atmadi Stamba Paryantai Murti Ambis Characharai Nitya Gitani Anekarai Pritagam Prasitai Atmadi Stamma Paryantai Murti Mabis Characharai Nitya Gita Upa Prita Upasita Atmadi Stamba Paryantai Murti Apis Characharai Mutta Nitana Nekartai Pritak Pritak Upasita Vaishnavis Atmadi Samba Paryantai Murti Amabis Characharai Nitya Gitadi Nikarai Pritak Pritak Upasita Atmadi Stamba Paryantai Murti Apis Characharai Nitya Gitadi Anekarai Pritak Pritak Upasitaha Atmadi Stamba Paryantai From Lord Brahma to the insignificant living entity. Murti Madhavi. Assuming some form. Characharai. Both the moving and the non-moving. Nichakita Dhyanekarai. By many varied means of worship, such as dancing and singing, pritak pritak, different upasita, I'm sorry, different upasitaha, who were being worshipped. All beings, both moving and non-moving, from the four-headed Lord Brahma down to the most insignificant living entity, had taken forms and were differently worshipping those Vishnumurtis according to their respective capacities with various means of worship such as dancing and singing. Please repeat. All beings, both moving and non-moving, from the four-headed Lord Brahma down to the most insignificant living entity, had taken forms and were differently worshipping those Vishnumurtis according to their respective capacities with various means of worship such as dancing and singing. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Innumerable living entities are engaged in different types of worship of the Supreme according to their abilities and karma, but everyone is engaged. Jivera Sarupa Hoy Krishna Nicha Das, CC Majya 2108. There's no one who is not serving. Therefore, the Mahabhagavat, the topmost devotee, sees everyone as being engaged in the service of Krishna. Only himself does he see as not engaged. We have to elevate ourselves from a lower position to a higher position, and the topmost position is that of direct service in Vrindavan. But everyone is engaged in service. Denial of this service to the Lord, of the Lord, is Maya. Ekaleshvara Krishna Arasabha Bricha Yareya Che Nichaya Sedhache Kai Nicha. Only Krishna is the Supreme Master, and all others are His servants. As Krishna desires, everyone dances according to His tune. CC Adi 5.142. There are two kinds of living entities, the moving and the non-moving. Trees, for example, stand in one place, whereas ants move. Brahma saw that all of them, down to the smallest creature, had assumed different forms and were accordingly engaged in the service of Lord Vishnu. One receives a form according to the way one worships the Lord. In the material world, the body one receives is guided by the demigods. This is sometimes referred to as the influence of the stars, as indicated in Bhagavad Gita 3.27. By the words prakritya kriyamanaini, according to the laws of nature, one is controlled by the demigods. All living entities are serving Krishna in different ways, but when they are Krishna conscious, their service is fully manifest. As a flower in the bud gradually fructifies and yields its desired aroma and beauty, so when a living entity comes to the platform of Krishna consciousness, the beauty of his real form comes into full blossom. That is the ultimate beauty and the ultimate fulfillment of desire. Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Vrstaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharini
nirvishesha sunyavadi bhasyatya dasatanani vandeham shri guru shri uta barakamalam shri gurum vaishnavamscha shri rupam sakchakatam sahagana raghunatham sam sachivam sadvaitam sadvahutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam shri radha krishna padam sahagana lalita shri krishika krishnamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagapate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Krishna Namostute Tapta Kanchana Kurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Truvyascha Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha Patitanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
All beings, both moving and unmoving, from the four-headed Lord Brahma down to the most insignificant living entity have taken forms and were differently worshipping those Vishnumurtis according to their respective capacities with various means of worship such as dancing and singing. So we're in this beautiful section of the Srimad Bhagavatam where we're being given a vision of what Lord Brahma is also being given. And this is due to the mercy of Sukadeva Goswami and all our previous acharyas, especially Srila Prabhupada. We're also being given the lessons that Lord Brahma is having. And Lord Brahma is in Vrindavan, and so he's being given a vision into the spiritual sky where everyone is serving Krishna. Even Vrindavan here in the material world, Srila Prabhupada says, one cannot just buy a ticket to go to Vrindavan. One goes to Vrindavan by the mercy of Srimati Radharani. And when you go to Vrindavan, one cannot just go and see Vrindavan. One has to have proper eyes. And those eyes, because when you go to Vrindavan, your senses will be assaulted with all kinds of sights that you really don't want to see. There will be many aromas you don't want to smell. There will be many sounds that will be very obnoxious. But when we approach through the eyes of Scripture and through the acharyas, that's when we can truly have the right vision. Once when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was giving a lecture, somebody got up and left the room. And when he came back, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta asked him, said, where did you go? He said, oh, I went to take darshan of the deity. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta asked him, and what did you see? And he said, well, the deities were wearing a beautiful dress with red and white and silver. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta said, I exercise. You have to hear first before we can see Krishna. We have to understand Krishna through the acharya. In this particular purport, Prabhupada refers to Majjalila, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majjalila, chapter 20, verse 108. Jivera Sarupa Hoy Krishna Nichadas. This is when Sanatana Goswami went to Lord Chaitanya and he said, who am I? This is the beginning question of spiritual life. When the living entity asks, who am I? And Lord Chaitanya told him, you're not that gross material body, nor are you the subtle mind and intelligence. You are the eternal servant of Krishna, part and parcel of the Supreme Soul. Therefore, you're his eternal servant. We all know that example of the cup of water that's taken out of the ocean. It's the same chemical components of the ocean. But that cup of water cannot hold the life force that the ocean holds. It cannot create tsunamis. It can't even create waves. So we are like that little cup of water compared to Krishna. Very small and very insignificant. But the quality is the same. Spirit, soul. There are three energies we learn about. There's the spiritual energy, Krishna. He has three energies. And he has marginal energy, which is us. And then there's material energy. And we have that choice who to serve. Either we serve Krishna's energy or we serve the material energy. Bhagavad Gita in 4.11 explains this very well. Very well. Yeyatamam papajante tam saiva rajamamyaham mantaratmanuvartante manusyaya partha sarvasaha. As all surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Purga. So this is our choice, is to serve Krishna. But we have this choice to serve one of these energies, either the material energy or the spiritual energy. This verse is sometimes misunderstood, even by devotees, who say, oh, it's all one path. We're all on the path. This is actually very Mayavadi. Because it's not all one. Everything is not all one. If you want to go to San Francisco and you start off going to New York, it's going to take you a lot longer than the person who gets on the direct flight to San Francisco. So if we choose to take a detour, and that's how material life is, it's a detour, which we have the choice many, many times during the day, hundreds of times, of taking a choice, of taking a spiritual path or a material path. And sometimes I've even heard myself say, well, why does Krishna just take away all my material desires? Give me, you know, just give me pure love of God. Take all my desires away. But Krishna honors our freedom of choice. It's so important to him. Freedom and choice is so important. Do you imagine if Nagatma went home today and Jagga said to him, dear, I only married you because the temple president told me to. Not because you're such a great devotee and you lead wonderful kirtans and I'm enlivened by your association, but because I was told to. Or do you remember when your mother told you to take out your little brother with you and your friends and play with them? Remember how well that went? And Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. He can't enjoy unless we're happy. Because he loves us so much, he wants us happy. But we're under the illusion that these material things will make us happy. But when we come to spiritual life, we've come to spiritual life and we've taken these vows and we've gotten on this path of sadhana bhakti, which requires work, which requires effort. And in the process of sadhana bhakti, we're chanting, and there's these 10 offenses we avoid. And there's this big offense, mad elephant offense. Do you know which one I'm talking about? Thank you. So true. But it's so insidious because it's so much a part of our culture. If you turn on the news or if you turn on Facebook or if you pick up a magazine, it's all so much criticism. People are thinking they have a right to be critical of other people. And so unfortunately we come with this conditioning in our lives. The material world is so full of calamity. There's so many terrible things going on. But Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Daivi Hayaya Gunamayi, this divine energy of mine is consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome, but those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. This is just the beginning. We've made this choice that the material world is a terrible place. It's so terrible that horrible things are happening. There are terrorist activities and lying and cheating, stealing, because these other jivas, they want to be a part of these kind of things. But we don't want to be a part of these kind of things. So this effort to get beyond finding criticism of other devotees, it starts in the mind. The mind is can be our friend or our enemy. As the mind starts thinking, it may think of some offense about a devotee. And the way we nip that offense is to think, and Srila Rupa Goswami explains this, is to think of a good thing about that devotee. So if we're thinking of something critical, we can stop it by thinking something good about the devotee. And if we're thinking something, it will come out of our mouths. So in case it does come out, then we can say something good about that devotee. Or if we hear something, we should say something positive about that devotee. Because it'll ruin our culture. It'll ruin our mentalities. How we talk about other people. Psychiatrists, even modern psychiatrists, say the reason we talk badly of other people is to make ourselves feel better. But that's just a false feeling better. It's just the false ego that's feeling better for only a short time. But sometimes we might see something really bad. It needs to be said. Something needs to be said to an authority, not broadcasted throughout the community. So we take it to this authority, and we express our concern, and then we let it go. We don't share it with everyone. But let's say something doesn't happen. Then we have to evoke our mystic power. And how do we do that? There's a mantra too. Tanadapi sunichena tonorapi sunishuna amani amanena kirtanaya sadahari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw on the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. If we point our finger at someone, we have three fingers pointing back at us. And if we're critical of a Vaishnava and they're tolerant, that criticism comes back to us. So, and really to revive our real nature, these rules and regulations, though they're not severe, they're very important. And Srila Prabhupada gave us this beautiful analogy in the in this purport. He said, all living entities are serving Krishna in different ways, but when they are Krishna conscious, their service is fully manifest. As a flower in the bud gradually fructifies and yields its desire aroma and beauty. So when a living entity comes to the platform of Krishna consciousness, the beauty of his real form comes into full blossom. That is the ultimate beauty and the ultimate fulfillment of desire. And so we have an individual relationship with Krishna. Each and every one of us has an individual quality that's very dear to Krishna. And only you have that quality. And Krishna as we chant and get closer to Krishna, that desire to serve Krishna in that way will become more and more manifest. And our desire to serve in that way will become stronger and stronger. And in that way, we will become aware of our eternal relationship with Krishna. I wanted to just take a couple minutes to talk about Srivas Thakur, as this is his disappearance day. And he's the fifth member of the Panchatapa, as you all know. And he was Narada Muni in his previous birth. He's come with Lord Chaitanya to help spread this movement. He had three other brothers, he was the leader of which, who were very strong in promoting the movement of Lord Chaitanya. He was very close friends with Madhvaitacharya, and they chanted to bring the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. His wife, Malinini, was very good friends with Sachimata. And she was, Jagannath Mishra requested that she help Sachimata when Sachimata gave birth to Lord Chaitanya. Srivas Pandit and his wife were very like parent-like with Lord Chaitanya when he was young. And they gave a lot of advice to Jagannath Mishra and Sachimata. And when Lord Chaitanya became a bit arrogant during his educational years, and he became very arrogant, Srivas Thakur, he went to him and he said, why do people study? So they might understand what is devotion to Krishna. If by scholarship one doesn't understand and gain devotion to Sri Krishna, then how will that be helping them? It becomes simply a tedious endeavor, which in the end is nothing but a waste of time. If you have actually learned something, then begin your worship of Sri Krishna now. Make haste. This is the purpose of your life. Nimai laughed, and he replied, by your mercy, certainly that will come to be. If you are at all kind enough for me, then definitely I'll attain devotion to Sri Krishna's lotus feet. At one time, Lord Gaur Sundar, he came to Srivas Thakur's home, and he asked him, who do you worship? Who do you meditate on? He then went into his deity room, and he sat on the Shingasan, and he assumed his forearm form. Immediately, Srivas Thakur, he paid his obeisances and he offered beautiful prayers. My obeisances at the lotus feet of the support of the entire universe, Vishvambhara, whose bodily color is like that of a newly arrived rain cloud, and wore garments which are the color of a thunderbolt. My obeisances at the lotus feet of the son of Sachi, who is bedecked with ornaments of peacock feathers and a garland of red beads, Kunjamala. My obeisances to the lotus feet of the pupil of Ganga Das, the beauty of whose lotus face conquers that of 10 million moons. My obeisances at your lotus feet, you who carry a buffalo horn, stick, and flute. The four Vedas have proclaimed you to be the son of Nanda. Unto you, my dear Lord, my obeisances I offer again and again. Another time, Lord Chaitanya came to Srivas Thakur's home, and he asked his niece, Narayani, she was only 4 years old, he says, please call for Krishna. Pray to Krishna with tears in your eyes. And she started chanting the holy name, and her eyes welled up with tears, and big tears started flowing out. They were soaking her and her feet. And all the inhabitants in the home, the family and the servants all came in. And they all started chanting and crying as well. The whole courtyard became wet with the tears. Srivastakur's home was a place where the Sankirtan movement was begun. He would go and have these beautiful kirtans in his home. And one time, Srivastakur could hear a disturbance in the inner apartments. So he went in to see what was the problem, and he found all the ladies there crying pitifully, wailing, because the young child of Srivas died from a disease. Unexpectedly. And they were all crying so sadly. But Srivastakur, he pleaded with them, "Please don't make a disturbance. Lord Chaitanya is chanting. This is a great boon for this child who is left. He is left during the hearing of the chanting. Nothing could be better. We can't lament in this way, and you will disturb Lord Chaitanya, and he may go away." So the ladies, they stopped. They stopped wailing, and they went out and they joined the kirtan. And Lord Chaitanya, after the kirtan, he said to Srivas, he said, "Is there some disturbance? I was feeling something inauspicious during the kirtan." And Srivas said nothing. And he asked him again. And finally, somebody else told him, he says, "Srivas's younger child died during the kirtan." And Lord Chaitanya said, "Srivas, you didn't tell me. Why not? Take me to this child." So Lord Chaitanya went to the child and he took his hand and put it on the child's cheek. And the child regained consciousness. And the child said, "Oh my Lord." But he regained full consciousness. He said, "I have traveled in this material world for so many lifetimes. And now I have left this world due to the mercy of hearing your kirtan." And Lord Chaitanya, he said, "Whatever," he said that whatever, he said, "Oh Prabhu, whatever you have deigned is absolute. No one can do anything but what is sanctioned by the Lord. As many days as I am destined to remain here, that many days I have stayed. Now that my time has elapsed, I will proceed to leave. My dear Lord, I've taken birth and died repeatedly, but this time, at the time of death, I passed away quite happily, having taken darshan of your beautiful face." After saying this, the child became silent, and Gaur Sundar, he enjoyed a special time of transcendental sport. And having heard these uncommon words of the dead child, the devotees floated in the ocean of bliss. Srivasa Pandit, along with his family members, then fell at the lotus feet of Gaur Sundar and cried in ecstatic love. Jai Srivasa Thakur Ki Jai. Anybody like to add something? Yep.
Yeah, you mentioned if we criticize another devotee and he tolerates it, then that criticism comes back to us. So I just want to know where that's stated, and also if you could give an example of that situation.
I've read that, and I can't tell you right off, but I'll get back with you on that. But yeah, it's... Oh, yeah. Thank you.
So it was, I mean, could
there's
you
give a, you want a pastime?
I don't know, well, could you give like an example? That's
okay. There was a devotee named Krishna Priya. She had actually had, was caring for the Shila that Raghunath Das Goswami received from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after he passed. She was caring for him. And she went to hear a Bhagavat class from this devotee, and I don't remember his name. But she was so infected with the holy name, she couldn't stop chanting. It wasn't a loud disturbance, but as the class was going on, she was chanting. And he criticized her and told her to stop. And she tried, but she was totally absorbed in the holy name. It wasn't. Later on, he acquired leprosy and fell down to a horrible condition, at which time he came to realize he was suffering this because of his offense to Krishnapriya. So he went and he offered obeisances, and he actually was relieved from the leprosy. Is anybody? Yes.
Thank you, Martha. Beautiful class. I really love your selections, different pastimes of life of Srivast Thakur. Recently, I'm reading the Nectar Devotion. I was reading the chapter about the devotees, and there's a section, Eternal Perfection. And I get the impression that there's certain devotees that basically cannot fall down. Like, there's a certain category of devotees, like Nanda Maharaj or Mother Yasoda, Radharani. They're devotees. They can't fall down. Okay. So my question is, in one sense, aren't they like Atma's wife, the only reason she married him was because she was told to by the temple president?
The only reason I used that example is because I knew it wasn't true.
Right.
Yes, I believe that too.
There's no free will there. If they can't fall down, they can't do anything else but love Krishna.
But their will is completely to love Krishna. That's all they want. We're conditioned. We've been, maybe not you, but I'm speaking for myself. I've been traveling this material world for lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. And so it's a problem. You know, we have to be aware that the conditions are there because they're subtle. They come in so many ways. And Arjita.
Hare Krishna, thank you for a very nice class. Just on Brigapati's last statement there, it's not correct. It's not that if you can't fall down, you don't have free will. Krishna can't fall down. He has free will. He can do anything he wants. But when you come to the jiva category, Prabhupada made it clear that every jiva has that potential to fall. Some just never exercise it. It's just like within a free society, everybody can become a criminal if they want to. Anybody can flout the law. But some people just never do it. You can see even in driving, if you just watch this corner here every day, which I do from my office, some people, including who live in this community, don't do it. They, with their free will, they go across Venice Boulevard, which is illegal. To go straight across from Wasika Avenue and make a left onto Venice is illegal. But many people do it, including people who live in this community. If you get caught, it's a big ticket. It's a huge ticket. But just to save a few seconds, they do it. So that puts you on the wrong side of the law. And there are others who would never do it. They don't care if there's absolutely no traffic. They come to that corner, they make a right, they go to the next corner, make a U-turn, and then they go east on Venice. So everybody has that choice. So it's the same thing on the spiritual platform.
Nice example.
Everybody has the potential to make that choice and leave the spiritual world. But some just never do it.
We have to understand there is no loss of free will. First of all, in order for Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, and all of these great devotees to come to the position where they are at, they went through the process of surrendering their will again and again and again, year after year, life after life, doing an incredible amount of transcendental pious activities. Therefore, they don't want any will. They know that their will is useless compared to Krishna's will. Once you come to that firm conclusion, in effect, you cannot fall down, but as Archer was saying, potentially, because you're a living entity, you can be covered. But right now, you're totally covered with love for Krishna, 100%. Therefore, that is an insulation against any Mahamaya to reach you or to affect you or to touch you. So, therefore, as far as will goes, they don't want any free will. They want Krishna's will to work through them. And that's exactly what's happening. They wanted to become parents, they wanted to become children, or they wanted to become in some way connected or associated with Krishna through loving service. So Krishna gave them that, and they offered or gave their free will, but to them it's not giving of will. To them they feel they cannot do anything else because they are totally 100% sold out to the lotus feet of Krishna, and all they want to do is serve him and more serve him and more serve him. And the idea of anything else is completely would be baffling. It doesn't fit in with their state or understanding or level of consciousness.
Prabhu?
Thank you very much for your wonderful class, Mataji. So it is said in the purport that all living entities are serving the Lord Krishna in one way or other. So I'm just wondering, what about those demons who are killing innocent animals in the slaughterhouses, and those demons who are killing people in different parts of the world? Are they also serving the Lord by killing those animals or killing different people from all over the world?
Yes, they're serving the Lord's material energy. They're serving in this material world where the living entity comes to enjoy separately from Krishna. And it's after years and lifetimes of the living entity trying to enjoy, and they're suffering the results, because all these different material desires conflict with each other. One person wants to be a terrorist, one person wants to hug trees, but they get blown up. But they're blown up as a reaction, is karma. We're not going to come out and tell somebody you're suffering because you're karma, but they're suffering because of their activities. And that's, so that terrorist, he's serving Krishna's plan in this material world, that people understand this place is full of suffering.
Thank you. That's excellent. Excellent what you've just said. Just to add one little spin to it, is that all these karmic reactions, for example, taking what Prabhu has just said, slaughtering the animal. So the animal was once a slaughterer of animals. Mm-hmm. So this law of karma is not something that just pops into existence. It's given by Krishna. And those who, everyone is assisting in some way of the working out of this karma. In other words, I have to get a reaction for my having slaughtered some animal. So Krishna arranges for someone to slaughter me to give me the result that I deserve. So in that sense, their service to Krishna.
And after lifetimes of suffering in this way, we come to understand, I don't want to be slaughtered.
Right.
And I don't want to slaughter.
Perfect. Thank you.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much. You're inspired.